You're listening to the Fox in a Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
Hey, this is Savannah, your co-host for the Fox and the Fangus podcast. I am with you today in an undisclosed location, only known by Elizabeth, at the front desk of the Hilton Hotel, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, at the 2024 Keystone Conference. I am here. It is Friday night. We should be out partying, but we're not. And when I say we, I mean, I am here with a lovely couple that I met here at a previous Keystone, and we had lunch together, and we have become those, like, can't wait to go back to band camp friends where you see them once a year. So they agreed to be on the show with me today because their stories are amazing. I will tell you that. So if it's less than amazing, it's not my fault. But I have today a lovely couple. And so I will start with Katrina. She is the gender diverse male to female partner of this marriage, and also Violet, the lovely significant one. You may know Violet as Panda from a year ago. This is, again, if you go back to that episode where I talk about Panda in Keystone and wanting to start something for the significant ones in this type of partnership, this is she. She is amazing. Obviously, we had a little bit of trouble getting that SO channel of Facebook off the ground. We always knew it was going to be an uphill climb because it's very difficult to have a sustainable group that is well-moderated, well-tempered, well-regulated in terms of balance of information. But we're here again. And with that, I want to say hello. So hello, Katrina.
Hello there. Are you done?
I'm all right. I mean, we've been together all day. And, you know, I mean, yeah, we broke bread. Your wife was mistaken to be my partner. So we had that going for us. And we just...
We're sharing now.
We're sharing now. Yes, we're sharing. And we also have Violet. Hello.
Hello.
Ooh, lovely voice. Well, she has a voice for a podcast. I know that right now. So we've talked offline, obviously, a lot. We should have recorded our dinner at the hotel restaurant, which was amazing food, by the way. But we talked deep today, and we probably use all of the best material at dinner. That's okay. We'll get over it. And we'll just reiterate all that stuff. I want to start with you, Violet, because last year I probably was a Friday luncheon, and you sat next to me, you on one side, Key, the gorgeous goddess of darkness, Key on the other side, Katrina next to you. And we just started talking like just really philosophical stuff, and you talking about what you're going through with Katrina and how that's going along, and like your support and being with the SOs on their journeys. So why don't you fill us in about how it all started for you? Just give us the little origin story, and then we could go from there.
Well, it all started on a cold winter. No, but it actually was winter. If I remember correctly, it was probably February. Because I can't say the month, that second month in the year, or probably March. It was one of those where Katrina said to me 1 week before, I have something to tell you, but I'm not telling you today. We'll meet again next week. Because at the time we were dating, we had just been dating for less than a year, actually.
Yeah.
It was less than a year because we had met the October the year before. And so for a whole week, I'm like, what the heck? There was all kinds of different possibilities going through my brain. I'm talking to my friend. I'm like, I don't know what it is. She's telling me, it's like, it could be this. Like, nope. We sat down at a diner that does not exist anymore. And here it comes out. You know how our friend is gay? I'm like, okay. Well, I'm not gay, but do you remember those stockings and how they were a little bit bigger when you put them back on? I was like, yeah, that's because I put them on. Okay. So that is how it came out. And it was like, okay, well, I can't really tell my friend. Now I got to figure out something to tell my friend. So I came up with some other stuff to tell her. But that is basically how it started. It was one of those. So this is what I do. And take it or leave it.
Oof. Okay. Now I'm going to stop you there. One clarifier, the friend, I'm assuming like you told the friend, he has something to tell me, and I'll tell you what I'll report back to you.
Yes.
And then you're like, well, shit, I can't tell that thing back to you. Okay, we'll say he's got 6 toes on 1 foot.
I cannot remember what I told her.
The lesser of the two evils, X-murder. Okay. Katrina, from your perspective, because I didn't hear the word gender diverse. I didn't hear the word cross-dresser. I didn't hear...
This was 1991.
No, back 1992. Back in the day, we did. Hey, I knew that word in night. Well, that was 96. Never mind.
Transvestite.
Yes, that's 91 would have been. Yeah. So, did you know that's what it was when you told her? Did you have the language to say that word, or were you afraid to use that word, or you didn't know that applied yet?
I wasn't going to say transvestite. It sounds kind of weird.
Gross. Yeah, it says a bad word.
Maybe cross-dresser was around. I'll probably use that.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know.
But you understood it for yourself. Did you understand it as well as you do now, all these years later?
Yes.
Do you have a deeper appreciation for who you are? Okay. And is part of that, thank you, Katrina. So going back to Violet. So you're now told.
Yes.
And you've been you're only dating at this point.
We had only been dating a few months.
Okay. So where did you go from there?
Okay, I've always been very open-minded. And to point out, I was very naive, even though I was 21 at the time. I grew up in not diverse.
Like sheltered, maybe, or?
Somewhat, but it was definitely not diverse. But there was some diversity as far as different cultures and stuff, but not a lot.
Gotcha.
But I've always been very whatever, you know, that's...
Live and let live.
Yeah, I was not at the time. I was definitely not one of those that it's like, oh no, that this is weird. No. So I was like, okay, well, I guess we'll go from here and see what happens, you know? And so that's at the time, that's what it was.
So we're talking naivete.
Oh, very much.
When we say naivete, one, I didn't know that existed, but it must be okay. Or was it like, is this something more men do that I wasn't aware of?
No,
because it was so naive.
It was, I didn't know that existed, but okay.
Did you think that Katrina was the only one in existence? Like, you was like, I never heard of this before. Is this widespread or is it just my
person? I don't think, no, that didn't cross my mind. No, I knew that definitely wouldn't be the only one.
Okay.
But at the time, it was not a thing to go out. It was literally just in the bedroom.
Okay.
At the time, it was just in the bedroom. So it was, I was like, ooh, okay. That's
interesting.
This is interesting. A little
exciting. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's very open. So based on that, Katrina, then I'm not going to try to fast forward it too much, but because obviously you got married. So between the telling and the married, obviously my assumption is it wasn't deterred by the fact this was now a known thing. So how did it carry forward throughout your relationship or as it was building and growing?
Well, I think it was good for a while and still was good over the years. But then you get that urge. You have to do a little bit more. And I never really told anyone to go out of the outdoors or be out. But I think when I first told her, I don't know, what year was that?
When you first told me?
That I wanted to outside, out these doors.
That was probably, I'm trying to figure out with the age of kids. That's how I measure things. That might have been a conversation about it before kids. I think there was conversations about it before kids, but it was a few years into our marriage that it was like, no, I really need to.
So it stopped becoming bedroom play or bedroom dressing. When you told her you'd like to go out further, did you already have a full head-to-toe persona at that point? Katrina was fully fledged, head-to-toe wigs, the whole nine. Okay. But up to that point, all that was being cultivated strictly at home. Okay.
Gotcha. And without me knowing.
Wait, what?
The Katrina part.
Wait, now what? Tell me, wait, what do you mean?
It was known, but I'm trying to think of how to say it was known, but not known. It was known, but not in the forefront. I guess that's how I could put it.
Okay, I'm gonna reframe this because yes, I'm trying please. To get some understanding here. So you knew, Katrina told you, I like to do this thing. And you're like, oh, all right. And you did say a little excitement in the bedroom, whatever. Now, are you saying that the excitement in the bedroom was a far cry from a fully fledged Katrina? Did you know there was a Katrina, or just knew that there was dressing in
the bedroom? No, it started with the bedroom, and then yes, Katrina did come out.
Okay,
and
so you knew that existed, as it was going along.
Yes.
Okay.
But as it progressed, I guess I was not paying attention as much.
So you're just going along.
I was just going along. I was just going on, and then kids were around and other stuff was going on. So I was just, okay. And it just kept going into the closet.
But Katrina had a name that was known to you.
At the time, there was a different name.
Okay. But you know, there was like this emerging of a persona. Not necessarily that you knew that you wanted to go out.
Yes.
But you knew that there was this. It started with pantyhose and it became this. Now there's heels. Now there's corsetry. Now there's a wig and makeup. It was progressing all along.
It was. But okay. In my mind, it was still a bedroom thing.
Okay. Interesting. So you didn't you didn't make the connection of the
hence the naivete.
I see. Well, you're so sweet and naive. I love that about you. So let's reset. Katrina says right along the lines of before kids, maybe at the advent of kids, I would like to go out. I need to go out. I feel an urge to be in public or whatever that may be. Now, what did that look like? Was that Katrina wanting to go on a date with you as Katrina and Violet? Or was it, I just need to go out and be at some bar or venue to be out in the world? What did that look like?
For me, I was looking for some way to some event or something to go to. So there's a bunch of us. And I think that's the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
We went to an event in Long Island.
Okay.
We're mentioning. I think that was the first one, right? We went out.
With a bunch of cross-dressers and transgender, yes.
Right.
But there was a couple of other times that we went.
Oh, hotels. Yes, there's the hotels.
That was my compromise about going out.
Like to go to a hotel?
We would go to a hotel. That was my compromise
about going out. But stay in and get room service?
Yes.
So you would just go out of the house,
yes,
but to another closed location.
Yes.
Right, that you could draw the blinds.
That was my compromise about going out.
Interesting. Okay. I do see it, but I'm assuming that compromise did not fulfill the thing you were looking for. So can I assume that what you were feeling was loneliness or isolation?
Or maybe she's not getting what I really want. Go out and mingle and talk to be Katrina with her, hopefully.
Okay. So it was really this lack of social dynamic, not to the fact that as a couple, you don't have a social dynamic, but that is still a very closed dynamic,
mm-hmm,
especially when it's at home. One thing that Judy tried to get from me when we started dating, she's like, well, why can't you just do it here? We had a game night where she kicked my ass in, I think it was Scrabble or Rummy Cub or whatever it was. And she was crushing me every game, which was crushing my soul to be the loser, number one, but dressed as Savannah, being a loser at these games, just sitting around our coffee table trying to have this thing. And I totally understand the idea of, and I've said this before in the podcast, is that for me, being at home is just a bigger closet. Like being out in the world has a set of validation that cannot be obtained from 5,000% of validation from the SO. Because as much as that is validating, you could love Katrina to death and give all things in all ways, it's still hidden. It's still put away. And there is something to be said. And I don't know why it is. I'm sure many of us are like, I'd rather stay at home. But there is something about the public persona and acceptance, validation, or being seen. And even if it's not an accosting thing, you're just like, you're out. Even if it's your own validation that I could survive in the world after people are leering at me at the bar, whatever it might be, it could be the terrible experience, but you were out in the world. And I think sometimes I feel that our partners, they can't understand that because you live full personal, public, that is your whole self, where that's only our male self if we're still closeted.
Right.
You need that. But a lot of people don't. There are a lot of people who are happy to be bedroom only.
Yep. No, and you're right. I didn't get it. And then it was also the fear of how others will see it. And it was, oh my God, it's like, what if we come across someone that I know at that Long Island event that we went to? We're sitting with the couples, and the one lady that was with me, she was like, oh yeah, the first time I went out, I had this wig. wig on. I was all extra because I didn't care. I was like,
wait, the SO said this?
Yes, the SO.
Oh, that's funny. They really leaned into it.
Yes, because it was like the way that they were dressed and the way that they were behaving, no one would recognize them.
Oh, understood. I'm like, understood.
Okay. And at that one, I had a wig on and I was still
a little extra.
No, I was hiding.
Oh, you were hiding.
I was hiding.
You're not trying to be over the top.
No.
Incognito, sunglasses on. Nobody sees me.
Yeah. Redhead or something. Yes. Something. I can't remember. But yes, but that's where I saw more. I was like, and I saw how Katrina was happy and okay. Okay.
So once you saw it, once you saw Katrina in action in public, that sounded terrible, guys. I'm sorry. But once you saw Katrina in that social setting and you could see the emergence of happiness and being fulfilled or full, then you better understood the reasons why.
I understood the reasons why, but I still, it's this struggle that goes in circles. It goes in cycles. And sometimes I'm perfectly okay with it. And then other times I'm like, God, no, don't bring this up again. And then it goes, no, I'm good. We're cool. There's a whole lot of cycles that goes on.
Is it a circle or a spiral? And what I mean by that is you say you go through these cycles of I'm cool with it. I'm on board. Oh, no, not again. Mm-hmm. But is it like a spring where you continue to see your own evolution, even if your acceptance waxes and wanes? Like instead of it just being here static?
It's a spiral.
Okay.
It's an upward spiral.
Okay.
If I'm hearing spiral, normally I think downward. No, it's an upward spiral. So as we go out and meet more people and she becomes more. But it's also sometimes when we're out and I've noticed that the way her male side behaves and the way the female side behaves, where the male side would walk into a room and be like, wait, where can we go and do this? The female is like,
very demure, very,
very like, oh my God, protect me. And when I noticed it, I was like, you're supposed to protect me, not me protect you. And later on, I was like, wait, no, I should be protecting because this is what I am. She's learning to be. So it's been in the recent years that it's been more like.
And that one funny time, we were at that bar. We went to one of these, it's a bar.
Okay.
And some very
unsavory,
forwarded person just came and started touching my legs.
Ooh, girl.
First, he was hitting on me.
And you weren't having none of that.
I was like, no. So then he proceeded to hit on her.
And that was weird.
Yes, but
I didn't know what to do.
She was like, going all on it. I was like,
wait. Look,
the fact that it was whatever the questions were coming, she was answering the question, she was engaging in conversation
while this person has their hand.
Yes,
on her
she
leg.
Was engaging in conversation okay. with this person, okay. And I'm just sitting on the other side and I'm like, she's not getting it. She's not getting that he's trying to get in her skirt. She's not getting it. So at one point, I just go, I don't share.
Love that.
Right.
Love
that. I heard it and I was like, safe.
Oh, so what I'm hearing from you, Katrina, is Violet is like, what the hell? And Katrina seems to be like very engaged with this person, even with a hand on the leg. And you were feeling what?
I don't know. Strange. I didn't know what the heck to feel.
Okay. Well, let's break that down. Because I'm all fascinated. And again, because this is something that happens commonly where cross-dressing men go out, a femme, and they get hit on by men. And that is another validation that they are being seen as a woman. It's a man. It's like, it's not like a overtly sexual thing. It's like, I'm going to take that man home because I'm not homosexual. But like the idea that this person is giving you a very much a feminine experience of being like, oh, hey, I want to buy you a drink. There's something very validating in that. And so I get that. But my question to you is that what you were feeling? Were you feeling validated or were you just petrified? Like, I don't know how to break away and tell this person that's something what it's about.
Yeah. Well, the beginning was nice and then it got weird. And then I was, what is going on?
And you just found yourself like, I don't know how to pull out of this nosedive.
A little frozen.
Okay.
And she stepped in.
And that was the thing. What I saw from my side was she's not fending him off. What is going? She doesn't know what to do.
Oh.
She doesn't know how to get out of this.
Baby.
And that's when I was like, No, this is not. No, this ain't happening. No, no, no.
Okay, I want. That's amazing, by the way. I love that story. There's two things that you said, Violet, that I want to touch on, because you are pointing at Katrina about, like, the male side would be very assertive and go do and say, what are we going to do here? Give me directions. And the female side is all demure and very timid. Didn't you just tell me today about how when you're here at Keystone, you're a completely different person than when you are elsewhere? Tell us about that.
Yes. Yes, definitely. When I'm out in the professional world or out anywhere else, I'm very much aware of how I will be perceived or how I think I will be perceived by others. So I am not, if I'm not comfortable, I am not going to engage. I'm not going to be starting anything. I'm not going to start a conversation. I don't do that. I'm not as talkative.
And by the way, everybody, she hasn't stopped talking since I've met her this weekend. So just FYI.
And that's the thing. It's like over here. And it was really, it was last year. Last year when we were here and after I met Savannah and all these other wonderful people. And it was Saturday night after the gala. Was it Saturday night after the gala that there was a dance?
That was Friday.
That was Friday. Yeah. So it was Friday night. And it was like, I was, you know what? I don't care. This is, and I let loose. And Katrina can tell you, she was like, I've never seen you be like that. I'm like, because I don't care. And it's not that I don't care. I shut the voices in my brain that are telling me to hide that personality.
Yeah.
I shut them out with alcohol, but I still shut them up.
Well, sometimes you need a little lubrication. So what I'm hearing is that you felt safe to be you.
Yes.
And which is what Keystone is all about. Yes. For so many of us to feel safe to be with people like us, to be ourselves. Like some of us only can be ourselves in this venue for the entire year. Mm-hmm. Whereas for myself, I have my routine, but it really pains my heart that there might be people who's like, the only time I get to do anything and be fully authentic to my feminine form is once a year at Keystone. I will tell you this without getting deep into the story. We can have met people, cis female SOs that have also found their tribe within us, even though they're not trans in any way, even though they're not gender diverse in any way. But because there's such inclusivity here, just on this trip alone, have seen so many women who feel like they can also be themselves. Mm-hmm. And not because they are a partner of, but because it's like, I also felt like an outsider. I also felt extra. And even with my cis friends, this is what I heard today, verbatim. Even with my cis girlfriends, I felt like I was the outsider. Mm-hmm. And then had a wonderful moment connecting with that person to say, wow, I'm so overwhelmed because I feel so accepted and loved and I can be me. So I think that is a wonderment of these type of conferences. Absolutely. Secondly, I'm going to keep in things in my brain. Secondly, and this is actually more interesting because this is about the dynamic you had mentioned where you were like, hey, Katrina, you're my husband. You're supposed to protect me in these situations. And you found yourself in a role reversal.
Yes.
Now, what did it feel like to one, recognize that dynamic had shifted, and two, to take on that role of the protector?
So that was recognized by me as it was basically, we were at one of the Halloween parties at that bar.
Yep.
And we were sitting down and I'm like, my husband would be out there talking to people. This is going in my brain, not being said. Like, why are you sitting here just being afraid to go out and talk to people that you already know? That was in my brain at the time. So I was like encouraging Katrina. It's like, no, you got to go to the bar. You got to find the waitress because she had not come and gotten our bill for us to pay. I'm not going. You got to go. I'm telling her, it's like, you go. So I'm pushing Katrina out of her shell. And then as we're leaving to get back to the car, I was like, why is she so like, no. So I went ahead and kind of left her behind. not literally, but kind of. And it took a few days in my brain of reviewing that scene. This is how my brain works. Like a few days later, I'm like reviewing that scene. I was like, ah, I should have stayed back. I should have been there to protect her just in case, because there were some weird ass people coming outside of that bar. I'm like, I should have stayed back. I should have protected her. What is wrong with me? And I realized what it was. It was my annoyance at I'm the woman. I'm supposed to be protected.
Yes.
Even though I don't like that, but.
Oh, I see. So you're one of those women libbers. Okay, I got it.
So the following time when we went back out again, I was more protective.
Okay.
At least I think so. Was I?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ari. Enough from you, talker. Right. I mean, so again, this is why I wanted this couple on, because amazing conversation. Katrina, tell me more. See, we only talk like once a year about these type of things. So you're going to have to give me more detail. So you are now out. You've been hit on by a man. where do we go from here? I mean, what's next? What then happens? Well, first of all, where are we? I mean, just generally, are we in the 2000s? Where are we with you being out in the world? How often? Is it always with you? Did you start going out by yourself? And like, what progressed?
Yeah, I mean, I always want to call her, right?
And I'm always asking
me. And I was very much like, defensive.
This is that spiral we're talking about.
This is the spiral that we're talking, the spiral, the upward spiral.
Okay.
Yes.
So I think it was down in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
It was a trans.
Meet, it was a similar to fever, but it was in Pennsylvania.
Okay. Okay.
And I told her, I'm going to go. If she wants to go, she can go. And you did go.
I did.
And she liked that group better than the Long Island.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they seem to be, I don't know what it was. They just more friendlier or whatever it was. But it seemed like I got a little more success out of that.
Was it more family friendly? Was there more SOs?
No.
Okay.
No, it was a different scene.
Was it like more coffee clutch kind of thing? I mean,
yeah, the one in Long Island was a party.
Yes,
At that time, was an actual like banquet.
Okay.
The one in Pennsylvania was get together, chat, and then everybody goes out to eat on their own. And then if they come, they may come back to the club that was there at the time, which unfortunately is done.
Well, you sure do a lot of things Raven. Where buildings don't exist anymore.
Yeah, I know. That seems to be what I do.
That you do is like you shut things down. Yep. I like that.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. So I knew that there was at least some success there. And she liked the crowd there. So I was like, okay, try to come back to this thing. And it stopped happening.
No, we went a couple more times.
Just a couple, but then it stopped happening. Right.
Yeah.
But like you got limited success, and then all of a sudden it just kind of fell off. Yeah. Yeah. I see that a lot too.
And it would go, it was a once a year thing. It was not.
Okay. Okay.
Because,
it was like monthly.
No, because with kids, it was tough. The kids were younger at the time. We left them home alone now, but we couldn't do that at that time.
Did the kids know or do the kids know? No, still to this day.
Yep.
Is there a discussed and agreed upon reason why that is? Is it more just ease of use by not telling them? What's the limit on that?
It's like, what for? I'm already this old. They're going to probably leave the coop in a couple of years. So I do something this drastic. And I'm not a full year dresser. I do this thing, this cross dressing thing, pretty much all winter and spring. And the whole summer.
Trust me. I get it.
So it's even that limited. And then we don't go out that much. So it's even that limited.
So what would you say your yearly is? Like how many times a year do you think you go out?
Maybe 5 times. 6 times, maybe.
So like 6 events, let's say, because obviously you're going to be doing a lot this weekend for sure. All right. I mean, it's still pretty good, but actually still very limited.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel, Katrina, about the amount of time you get as Katrina?
Mm-hmm. I wish there was more. It's just tough. Life doesn't give us a lot of time to do this, at least for me. So I got to take as much as I can get. That's why this event, Keystone, it's great. I'm doing this 3 days, and that doesn't happen.
Okay.
So,
I was going to ask you a follow up on that. So if there was no limits, if time wasn't a factor, children were a factor, if you could do this whenever, what would your routine look like? How often would you like to do this?
Good question. Maybe the weekends, whenever we have time, whenever we have work or anything else that's to get in the way, probably do it more often. Definitely do it all year round. There was nothing blocking us.
Okay. And how about you, Violet?
I think that if it was a more often event, I would be okay, because I think part of the reason why it's taken me 30 years to get where I'm at in this upward spiral is the fact that it doesn't happen consistently. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to forget
where you
to put it in to. to put it in the back of the closet in my brain. I know it's there. The one thing is, I never said you can't be that. That part, I was like, nope, I've never said that. I've never said you can't dress. I may have said going out is no, but.
Maybe steps. It's fine.
Yes. But I think that if it did happen more consistently, I would have reached this point faster.
And you bring up an amazing point that I really had never considered before by saying that, which is very true. And it's true for anything. I could say the same thing about my issues last year with my spine. And I just had no interest of being Savannah. But it's because I got out of practice and I got out of the routine and I lost the mojo of what is like to be Savannah. So from your point of view, I totally get it, where if you're not seeing it, it's very easy to it become awkward again. Mm-hmm. Because even though, like you said, fully realize in the back of my brain, I know this thing exists, but like with anything that you stop doing or stop seeing, you forget how it works. You forget what you were thinking about it. And if there are steps back, which hurts my heart that there are steps back for who Katrina and I are, but we get it. I totally get it that it's like, yeah, if I saw this more, it would be more a part of the routine. It would be more known. It'd be more integrated. Mm-hmm. So like the fact that, oh yeah, I haven't seen Katrina in 8 months. Now I got to retrain my brain again to get back to find that point I was at, because putting it away, put some dust on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, if it was happening more often, the fear that was there, it's still in the back of my mind of, will she transition? And that fear has been spoken and it has been told to me, no. So where it was a big thing, it has now become a little tiny thing, but it's never going to go away. Not on my end.
And
that fear.
I hear you. And I can tell you from all the people we've seen, all the people we've met, all the people who read my book and resonated with it, and who are now doing something completely different. Nobody can make that guarantee, right?
Exactly. And I know that.
And it just lets you guys know, there was a sneak peek before the episode. I showed Violet and Katrina all my little graphics for my new book. And it really speaks to being true to yourself and having full self-analysis and kind of knowing where you are in any given point. Mm-hmm. Not to say the point is fixed and not to say that point will move. But yeah, I mean, if anybody tells you, they guarantee you. Even I could never say to Judy, I can guarantee it, but I am like 99% that I'm happy right where I am.
Right.
And that's not going to change whether I dress once a week or twice a year. It's like, I know thyself. So I think the more we have that internal dialogue and have conversation with our SOs, I think the better. And it does sound like you conversate about this. At least you touch the surface on many topics.
Yep. Or twice a few years ago.
That's why I'm glad she's come to Keystone now. She can see all the different us.
The varieties.
Yes, varieties.
But it's the first year that we went 3 years ago. I had the feeling it was like, this is more for trans than cross dressers.
Oh, you said that?
I said that.
You said that. Okay.
I said that because I was like, this is okay. Because the way my brain processes things, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Last year, it was because the first year I didn't go to SO things. I didn't go to the SO workshops. I was like, no, I'm staying with Katrina. I'm supporting Katrina. This is not for me. This is for her. So I'm staying with her. I think we did maybe one workshop that was separate, but most of it, it was like, nope, I'm here for you. I'm here for you, not for me. And then last year I was like, no, you do your stuff. I do mine. That's it. We'll meet sometime.
So basically you're saying if I was a shackle, a ball and chain that first year, is like, please go do your own thing.
Yes.
Preach.
I'm here at a place where there's thousands of us. It's like an army, and it's like I'm one of them.
But that first year, I'm going to this. You coming to this? Come on. We're going to this workshop. I'm coming to this workshop. You're coming, right? Please. Because it was still very, the first year, 3 years ago, not last year, but 3 years ago, Katrina was still very shy.
Sure, sure.
And unsure from an outsider's perspective. That was my perception.
Sure.
Okay. That was my perception. So from my perception, Katrina was still very shy. Whether it was real or not, I don't know, but that was my perception. Mm-hmm. That was what I saw. And then I did go to a workshop on my own, and she went to her own workshop. And that could have been what made you be like, oh, I can do this on my own. Wait, right?
Right.
Because I kicked her out.
Kicked her out of the nest.
Yes.
So what I'm hearing is...
I've been trying to do that for a while now.
So what I'm hearing is this. One, you wanted to be there for Katrina. Mm-hmm. You wanted to be there to show your love and support.
Yep.
And it sounds like you were feeling the nuances of your struggle to get out of your own way and immerse yourself with all these lovely people because you're new to it. And then you did throw a little tough love in there with the one thing. So Violet kicked you out with the one to try to set you out on your own. And then you, Katrina, said, oh, yeah, I could do this.
Yeah.
And which, again, tough love, that it's what's needed sometimes. And then you, last time, you were like all doing your own thing. You're meeting your own people, yes. Katrina. You're doing your SO stuff, Violet, yes. and meeting up with me and
yes,
and being amazing together.
Yeah, I don't know. Did we do any workshops together last year? I don't think so. Oh, no, because I didn't go to hers. I went to the SO workshop because it was at the same time. And I wish I had gone to yours, but that's
You'll get it again this year. So.
Yeah, oh, I will definitely be there.
Can't wait.
Yes.
Because you'll get all three books.
Yes.
And I might hear questions and I'll give answers. It's very exciting. Love this. I'm loving this. So what we're hearing is that conferences like this are important, integral, and almost essential to people like us and partners, because otherwise we could be just living this little tiny life that we think is good enough, or we think that's all we can have. And getting together, just for everybody to picture, we're down, the three of us. I've made reservations. And unfortunately, I'm waiting for somebody else to say goodbye to. So these two had to jump in or make sure we didn't lose our spot. But we were down like just window side, basically, in this beautiful steakhouse, just with beautiful lighting. And they're on the bench, and I'm on the chair across. And the wait staff was amazing. The shift manager came over to see how we were. I had an amazing dinner, amazing cappuccino.
Mm.
Did not have dessert, but cappuccino is what got us.
Yes.
And then when we decided to record this episode, we were like, where are we going to record it? We're like trying to find a good spot. Everything's super echoey. So we apologize. This was the best we could find. And this was found through Elizabeth at the front desk, who is this beautiful, amazing spirit of an older lady who I saw her. She barely is able to peek over the counter. She's such a tiny little lovely. And so the first thing I saw on her was these beautiful, amazing troll earrings. And then she comes around the counter as Katrina and Violet are approaching. And she's like, oh, yeah, and I got my nails. And she had these like super sharp pointed nails, all hand painted with flowers. And then she tells us, oh, yeah, I had to get them cut down. They were longer and also hand painted. And she, within 5 minutes, got us, told us where to go for this conference room that's now empty, just with the three of us, to have this podcast. And what it demonstrates to me long-windedly is that we can be out in the world. Everybody, of course, we are in a Hilton, and the staff, of course, we expect to treat us lovely, and they have been. But I've been out to Dunkin' Donuts. After Violet said, hey, there's a Dunkin' Donuts, I went out with my friend Rebecca so she could get one. And everybody was amazing there. The other patrons didn't say a word. We got plenty of compliments. All of us compliments mm-hmm. about who we are as women,
yep.
presenting as women or cis women. And I just want to reinforce that you don't have to live a small life if you don't want to. I know we've met people from Texas that came here to Pennsylvania and went to the Erie Gala as well, because Texas is not really the state you're going to find a lot of queer support, but yet they go out in certain places in certain parts of Dallas. So, you know, you can make it bigger if you want to make it bigger. I want to just say that I'm living in South Carolina now, which, as our audience knows, and I've never had a bad experience out in the upstate. And it just is very important that just know that we are part of society. We need to represent. I'm not saying we need to advocate, because that's not everybody's job, but just know that we can go out in the world and be in the world. Is so uber important, because like you said earlier, Katrina, like being in a house was just a smaller prison. Mm-hmm. And to get out into the world is that thing of being validated and real. Yes. And sometimes people forget that we don't live on islands and we don't just have ourselves to validate us. And even with the most amazing support from our SOs, we sometimes need more. And when that more is needed, I think it's super important to have that conversation and find safe spaces, find people like yourself. And what I learned from being in South Carolina, when you can't find people like yourself, you find people who are super, super inclusive in that queer community. That is PFLAG. That is the LGBTQ Rainbow Society, or it could be the Rainbow Club, whatever it is in your area or near you or within driving distance. If you have to go out of state, because obviously you've done that, both of you.
We've done that, yeah.
Those things can happen, you know, if you have the fortitude yep. and bravery to go do it.
Yep. As you were talking, I remember one time when we were early going out. And I was like, yeah, going out, we'll go to the hotel. And she was like, we need to go to the McDonald's and get food.
Well played. Yes. Well played.
For me, it was like, wow, I get to go outside as this. For her,
I was terrified. Not that someone would recognize us, because we were not in an area where I would have known anyone. Mm-hmm. That would have been really odd. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't have known my partner anyway. So I could have definitely presented Katrina. Mm-hmm. But it was how are these people going to react to Katrina and to me being with Katrina?
Mm-hmm.
And she was still very much, oh, you need to go and order the food, because I'm not ordering. My voice is not, you need to go.
Oh, Katrina said that to you?
Telling me.
So she'll put you on the spot.
She put me on the spot.
Okay. While she's playing in the ball pit.
Yes.
And the fry, yes. The teeter totters.
Right. She put me on the spot and I'm like, that just popped in my brain as we're talking here. You remember that episode, the McDonald's episode?
Katrina's sitting there going, yes, I remember it well.
I was happy.
So you were just as concerned about what may befall you as you, Violet.
And that right? could be why I was that way. Energies affect me in different ways. So if her energy was very nervous, it
You're feeding, affects that's feeding
me.
You.
It's feeding me. At the time, I didn't realize it. I realized that 2 years, maybe 3 years ago.
Okay.
So if her energy had been different, it would have been feeding me differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last time on Christmas, when we went out and the party was not happening, so we ended up going to a store, her energy was different.
Mm.
My reactions, my behavior was also different. Even though I had already spiraled up, gone a little bit more than that other one that had happened maybe like, 5 years before?
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be one of the things that I ended up stepping backwards. Because of the energy, and because I felt forced to do something I was not ready to. But I didn't have the words to say it. But
right, right. Yet trying so hard to accommodate.
Yes.
I mean, one thing, Katrina, well played with the, we gotta go to McDonald's even though we're going to this hotel and nobody to see me. Fantastic move, by the way. Oh, my stomach, I can't. But the idea that you do go, and you have to recognize, Katrina, that your energy is nervous and crazy and you putting your wife into a position where she's, again, getting that energy in a very negative way and being forced to accommodate you in a way where it's, okay, it was your idea to go out and do this thing at McDonald's, but now you're putting all the pressure on me to make it happen.
At lunchtime.
At lunchtime?
In Pennsylvania. Oh. Not this Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania. I'm looking around. I'm like, this is a bunch of...
Wow. You didn't tell me it was like broad day, like midday, rush hour.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's trial by fire right there.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I keep asking, how do I look? How do I look? How do I look?
You mean now or back then?
Even forever.
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because that's a perfect segue. And I wasn't going to bring it up, but you did it. Okay. We obviously, Violet and I saw each other super early today. And so we were palling around. We went to our first workshop. And I'm like, where's Katrina? Oh, she's getting ready. She's doing this. She's not ready yet. Finally, you roll out for second session. I didn't get to see either one of you. So anyway, it was a whole like back and forth today. What we also discussed, I made the mistake of giving Katrina a compliment about how beautiful she looked. And I've never seen somebody karate chop that compliment away in like Matrix style as quickly as this woman did to me. And we had to have a whole conversation. And as you know me, audience, I love to soapbox. And so I gave my whole dissertation about how you do not take a compliment that is a gift freely given and just bat it away because you don't believe it. And luckily, Viola's, yeah, take that, Katrina. And I'm like, yeah, you're on my side. So we were beating up on Katrina pretty badly. But it raises the
with
point.
Love.
With love. With only love. Absolutely. What it raises is this point that I think all crossdressers contend with in some way, fashion, or form, as with everybody in life. It's like not feeling enough, mm-hmm. not feeling beautiful enough. I'm never going to get to that ideal that I just accept myself for myself because I know I'm a feminine beauty and amazing. So I'm prefacing all this to get your opinion, Katrina, on where you feel you are and what you may feel you still need to do in order to actually be able to accept a compliment like that and know it to be true.
Any compliment, even not Katrina, I always shy away from, but as Katrina, I'm always feeling like I'm not exactly, I guess, be able to blend in like a regular woman. So I always try harder and harder. I like at this Keystone, I went to all these beauty, make yourself prettier, make yourself look like a cis person.
Okay.
I'm always looking at YouTube, whatever I can just to perfect it. And I'm not sure when that ends. When I think is good enough. But I know Violet says I'm pretty enough, but she's seen me all my life. So I don't know how to take that. Is she just saying that? Or is she making me rush out of the room? Because it's, yeah, it's pretty enough. Let's get out of here. So I don't know.
I mean, based on the time frame that she kept telling me it was taking you to get out of the room, I can imagine maybe that second one has some truth to it. But I also believe because I'm looking at you like 3 feet away from me and your hair's gorgeous. Your eyes are on fleek. I know the kids don't say that no more, but you look amazing. And I was thinking about Imelda Marcos for some reason, because you have, I don't know, you just have this kind of Asian flair to you. You just have this very alluring style and facial features. So for me, I'm like, why is this person like batting away my compliment? Because I'm telling you what I'm seeing and believing. And you're just like, no, that's not me. So if your wife, the woman who loves you and cherishes you, is telling you you're pretty, I'm pretty sure it's not to get you out of the bathroom quicker.
No, it's not. And you do look beautiful. And I work very hard at the way you look. And I know that. And you look beautiful. And I've always said that. And I've said when you put on some clothes that I'm like, yeah, no, I've said that to you too.
Yeah, that's right. True.
So what she's saying is, hey, I've given you shit for the stuff you've done. So if I tell you it, it's true, whatever it might be, good or bad. This has been an amazing conversation. We could go all night because God knows we overstayed our welcome in the hotel as well. Also, if you heard any whirring sounds, it's from the cleanup crew that's next door, God knows they're probably going to try to get into this secret location next. I want to thank you, Violet, for being an amazing SO and for being an amazing friend to me. I want to thank you, Katrina, because I know probably some of this was a little hard because you don't really speak much about it. But thank you so much for being the beautiful you you are. And please accept that. Oh, hello, breakthrough. Breakthrough. She said, thank you, y'all. Y'all heard it here first. And I just want to say that your story is just part of the tapestry of what makes gender diverse people who are in couples succeed and give hope for others who are battling. So I hope that this episode, I don't know, could just be an additional light. It's one thing for Judy to talk about me in the way she does. And I'm always impressed and amazed by the fact that she feels the way she feels. But it's also very important to know there are other couples and you can share your story. And I'm so grateful that you did. Before we go, is there anything either of you would like to say before we head out?
Pointing at me.
I'm already batting it off.
Yes, Katrina is saying, pointing at Violet, say, no, you go first. I have nothing. Okay.
Of course, my brain just went bleh.
It doesn't have to be profound. It just has to be from your heart.
From my heart.
Yes.
It's taken me a long time to get where I'm at. I love where I'm at. But I know this is not the finish line. I don't see the finish line because I don't think there is a finish line. I think it is an always evolving situation. And as life changes, as circumstances change, the situation changes. The finish line keeps moving. So someone earlier in a workshop was saying, I saw the train tracks and I saw the train station. And now that I've done this, I don't see the train station anymore. I'm lost. And my brain went, because you probably have already arrived. In my situation, I'm thinking, I don't know. There's always more. Mm. There's always more as life changes, as situation changes, as my own discovery of myself goes on, things will change. And it doesn't mean that I don't accept. I will always accept. That has never been an issue. The acceptance has never been an issue. The support has never been an issue. So it may be in the back of the closet, closed. And then all of a sudden the door opens ajar. And you see my hand movements right now showing exactly the door opening ajar. And when it opens ajar, I was like, it rattles me. Mm. But it's always been accepted. I've never said it's either this or that. I have never done that.
I mean, I did tell you it didn't have to be profound, but the fact that you made it profound, gold, gold. Now you have to follow that up. Any last words that you have, like when it comes to yourself and your growth or your partnership?
I just like the way my partner here is changing and loving this whole world, new world for her, from Keystone and knowing well, meeting other SOs, which I've always been trying to get her to meet other. And it's been until we came to this place, it's been one of these, you find somebody that you love and talk to and now it is. That's here. And she's expanding that, right?
The problem has been that a lot of the gender diverse, I was trying to think of the word, the gender diverse people that we have met, either their spouses don't know, their spouses found out and that was the end of it, or the spouses are not wanting to be involved in it. Mm-hmm. And so I've always felt like I'm the outsider because you have all these beautiful women and they're beautiful, but then I come along and I don't want to take the light away. And I feel that that was the thing. We went to one night when it was just a girls' night out and I was one of the only women, cisgender women there. And I tried to not take the light away because this is not my party. That was not my party. So trying to find a couple. I don't think we've ever found a couple.
Yeah.
No.
Here. The only place.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Well, you're going to hopefully meet that Emily tomorrow.
Yes.
And hopefully you can connect because she's an amazing soul too.
And Nancy,
definitely. It is also on me to try to make more contact. My brain kind of works as out of sight, out of mind. And then sometimes it pops in my mind. But then by the time I remember, it's like, it's out of mind again. So there's a lot of that too.
Understood. And it's not easy, especially long distance.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, it raised up a good point. I know we're going to just keep going. Is that it wasn't your party. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't want to take the spotlight. And actually, there was a strange thing. You being a supportive SO may feel like a slap in the face to those whose partner left don't ask, don't tell, don't want to see it, don't involve me. Like, there's like, wow, look, you have this really supportive SO and I don't, and that makes me feel terrible. I don't know how often it happens, but you're laughing. So I feel like there's laughing. A story there.
I am laughing because we went that one dinner that we went to afterwards, the person who arranged the dinner told Katrina, yeah, you're welcome. Your spouse is not.
Oh.
And I had, like I said, those energies, I could feel it, that I was like, yeah, they don't like me.
Hmm.
And I was like, you know what? That's fine. You keep going. You have fun. And I don't stop Katrina from going. And when she's able to, she goes. She went in last month and comes back and tells me, it's like, oh, yes, we had fun. We did this. Oh, my God. Those people, they were like, there was a mess with this stuff. I'm like, tell me more. But I don't stop her from going because it's not my place to stop her from growing.
It's almost like
evolving.
Yeah, it's almost you being there is like you being the person that restrains them from being themselves.
Yes.
Like you're going to be judging them as the only cis woman there, kind of thing.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think that's how
they saw it. And that was not my intent.
And that's on them. That's on them. That's not on you. But I do think it's a funny dynamic. Yep. So your wife is here. Now I can't have fun.
We could go on all night.
All night. We'll get to make this a two-parter, which we probably will because I have no clue what time it is. So, Katrina, any last words? Anything else you'd like to say?
Mm-hmm. No. I'm glad this is happening. If anyone's getting any good feedback out of this, I'm glad I partook in this podcast.
Cool.
And I have nothing else to say.
Okay. Well, since Katrina has nothing else to say, that means Violet and I have to stop saying anything. So with that, I'm going to ask you both to, Violet, please say your farewells.
Until next time.
Oh, damn you. All right, Katrina, you do it too. Say your goodbyes.
Hasta la vista.
Baby, go to the chopper. That's going to be my goodbye today. Go to the chopper.
You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living With Crossdressing and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's H-A-U-K. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor, copyright 2024.
Yes, nailed it.
If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast, on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast, or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.